Support comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President. UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chardock. Back with us this week is Albany County District Attorney David Soares. Mr. District Attorney, I'm glad you're here.
How are you, sir?
Good. Okay. I guess you'll know what's coming.
Yeah.
The Attorney General's bombshell report comes out. Your initial reaction to what Tish James had to say in that report?
Well, I think the fact that the report had come out was a surprise for everyone. We were not privileged to any information prior to her press event. And so I think that for me in particular, it was, waiting with bated breath to hear the results of her investigation, understanding, of course, that her investigation was done completely as a civil investigation, where the burden of proof is different than that of a criminal investigation. But needless to say, we were shocked with the results of the investigation. I directed my staff to immediately begin parsing through the investigation, and we sent out a document requesting all of the evidence that was used to consider the results of her investigation, and that's what we are waiting on now.
Is this potential criminal activity? Otherwise, why would the district attorney be asking for this information, right?
We have an obligation, not only myself, but DAs and law enforcement from other communities where this conduct was alleged to have taken place.
David. We're talking about the governor of the state of New York now, Andrew Cuomo, in case anybody's just tuning in. And you've requested that Tish James, the attorney general, send you the relevant information that you might need to work with in pursuing any other investigations, right?
Absolutely. Prior to jurisdiction being given to the attorney general, myself and Mr. Cyrus Vance from the Manhattan DA's office, we were in communication because published reports had indicated that certain activities had taken place both in Albany as well as the offices in Manhattan. Therefore, we had begun to do an inquiry at that time. But given the fact that jurisdiction was, in fact, given to the attorney general, we did not want to create any complications, and we backed off from it. But now, having heard the report, a report that contains much more information than the originally published reports, it is responsible. It would only be responsible of us to ask for the information that she relied on so that we can conduct our independent investigation. And that's exactly what we are doing at this moment.
A whole bunch of questions come out of that, David Soares. One, why couldn't she do that? Why does she need the district attorneys to do it?
Well, I think we can all remember the Robert Mueller investigation where the Department of Justice had given Robert Mueller a very specific task to do, and he did. In fact, he looked into the very specific areas that he was legally obligated to look into. In this instance, the AG's office had civil jurisdiction, the jurisdiction that was conferred to her by the governor in that initial document that conferred jurisdiction. And so that jurisdiction gave her civil jurisdiction, but it did not take away from prosecutors our criminal jurisdiction.
I see. Now, some of what we were hearing, David Soares, definitely suggest the potential for criminal activity. Without giving away the story, David, or the story, and I know there's real limitations on what you can do or say here, you wouldn't be asking for this information unless you agreed with the fact that there may be some very dicey areas here that may impinge on the criminal justice system.
The bottom line is that we have an obligation to explore it, and as we did back again, when early published reports indicated activities taking place at the mansion as well as offices in Manhattan. We had an obligation then to inquire into it to determine whether there were criminal liability exists. And we are certainly under that same obligation now that more information has been added to those facts given the publication of this report.
So let me ask you this. You're the district attorney of Albany. Albany, of course, is the state capital. Does your jurisdiction extend to the whole state as a result of your being here and the governor being here? Because I'm puzzled by all these other DAs are now getting into it.
Well, there are certain crimes that occur because... So New York has two interesting jurisdictions. One is Manhattan and the other is Albany. A lot of the state capitol buildings are here in Albany County. So you can have an individual who, let's say, does not pay taxes or inaccurately files documents that are processed here in Albany County. Because the processing center is here in Albany County, it gives me jurisdiction to go anywhere in the state and hold accountable that individual who lies or, you know, commits an offense as a result of that filing and as a result of that location being here where documents are processed. This is different because we're not looking at processing violations. We're looking at actual physical violations that occurred, and therefore it is required that every DA in those jurisdictions where those activities are alleged to have taken place do due diligence and make the same kind of inquiries that I'm making now.
So, to use a football analogy, David Soares, if the governor made a forward pass at somebody in Oneonta, and I see Oneonta, I believe, is named as one of the jurisdictions, that would give that district attorney the responsibility for looking at Cuomo?
Yes, sir. Any of the allegations any allegations of misconduct that occurred physically in different spaces will trigger those prosecutors responsible for that jurisdiction to conduct the same inquiry that I am conducting. And thus far, I believe we have Nassau County, Manhattan, Westchester, might be Oneonta or Oswego, and Albany County.
Okay, so David Soares, my friend, and I really do feel that way. I think you are terrific. Do you have an initial reaction whether Cuomo, a Democrat, should resign, you're a Democrat, or be impeached?
I have no opinion on the politics of all that is happening. In fact, I've tried my best to block out the politics because the only issue that we are concerned with are, you know, facts and the law.
Right.
And those are the only focus of prosecutors who... Those should be the only focus of all prosecutors, regardless of where we exist.
And what your political party are. Just to set the agenda for those people who are listening to us interview Albany County District Attorney David Soares. David, do you have any plans to run for a higher political office?
My plans right now are to eradicate the illegal guns that are in my backyard. We have, more violence that's taking place on our streets, and that's where 100% of my focus is right now, is in my county and the work that needs to be done to improve safety here.
So that while Andrew Cuomo becomes an interesting and fascinating gaze for so many of us, your problem is making sure that guns are taken off the streets of Albany.
You look at the entire caseload that we have, and, I absolutely understand the political interest in this specific issue. I get it. But we have a lot of diverse criminal acts that have taken place in my case, where the focus and the energy of our office is in, and it's a dispassionate review of the facts and the application of the law. We will handle this investigation much like we handle all of our other investigations, and we will go wherever the evidence takes us.
Now, David Soares, I know that your office has not gotten, I'm not asking for your comment on this, I'm just going to make an editorial comment. Your office has not been treated well by either the legislature or the governor, and the reason for that, I'm quite sure, is that if they're going to get caught doing something bad, it's going to be by you. So a natural instinct is to starve you from the fiscal resources that you need. Now you want to come in?
Well, I'm not taking shots at anybody, but it's very rare that foxes will invest significantly in the security provisions of a hen house.
Exactly. Well put, my friend. Have you ever met the governor? Do you know the governor? Have you had conversations with him? Have you had issues with him?
I have. And, you know, much like I had with Alan Hevesy, who I would have considered back then a political ally. We were part of the same parties, the same, you know, Democratic Party. We've attended a number of different events. Certainly a lot of referrals, cases that had come from the state comptroller's office then. But, you know, when there are allegations of misconduct, the number one priority is to investigate those allegations, to do so in the most transparent way. And again, you follow the evidence and you go where it takes you, and you do not allow for those, you know, relationships to deter you.
Now, Alan Hevesy ended up being convicted, and as I remember the case, and I don't remember it well, it had to do with using state resources to ferry his wife around, in other words, drivers and things of that kind, and he was guilty of that. Do you see any parallelism here with Cuomo?
The irony here is the fact that, that there were two separate cases with Mr. Hevesy. One had to do with the misapplication of state resources, to which we prosecuted him and removed him from office. But the second had to do with the investment side of the house, which I teamed up with then Attorney General Cuomo to hold Mr. Hevesy accountable for that. And so, those were interesting times, and you know, here we are. But again, don't allow for those relationships to deter you from going where it is that the evidence takes you.
You know, I'm a political scientist who studied Albany for years and watched wrongdoing by political officials. And I'm wondering, David Soares, whether the word that can't be applied in so many of these cases is arrogance. In other words, you know, so I use my state cars to ferry my wife around. It may not have even occurred to him that that was a bad thing.
Well, you know, what is interesting is at all levels of government, you know, there are those who get into politics for the power, the prestige, and for those individuals with you know, those inclinations. It's not about public service. And I think at the end of the day, they can only survive in government for so long before, you know, they too are apprehended. And I think here in Albany County and the state capitol, there's so many of those examples. And what's oftentimes, you know, to my frustration, and I think to a lot of other electeds, you know, those individuals tend to smear the good name of the good name in public service, because there's so many great elected officials here at the state capitol, you know. But over the years, it's just become a terrible pattern of behavior. And luckily for us, we have different levels of law enforcement in the Capitol, being the U.S. Attorney's Office, the AG's Office, you know, local prosecutors that are holding individuals accountable. So there is a silver lining there.
Let's talk a little bit about the media. Media is such an important part of this. Right now we're going through a huge storm of Cuomoism, and people all over the country, the national news, the local news, all dealing with, you know, whether Cuomo broke the law or whether he acted badly. My question to you is, do you respect the media?
I have a tremendous respect for the media, and I also have a tremendous respect for the for the work that you do in terms of having to provide people with information. The public does deserve to know as much as it is possible to let them know. On the other hand, you know, it does get to be a distraction, and you know, the media attention can work to undermine a successful investigation, because people who might otherwise feel comfortable in coming forward and having off-the-record conversations are deterred because they believe that their name is going to be publicized, in this case, nationally. So, you know, for me, it's been threading a needle in trying to communicate as best as I can, but also not to elevate, you know, the profile of an investigation and deter people who we need to come forward from coming forward.
David Soares, has anybody in the governor's office reached out to you since your announcement that you were going to want to take a look at all of this?
No.
And if they had, let's play if they had. If they had, it's got to be something that a district attorney deals with all the time, lawyers and others trying to get their clients the best deals possible. What would your response be if they came and said, why are you picking on us?
Well, it's not unusual for, look, the reality is that 72 hours ago, you know, we were living in a different world, and it's 72 hours later, and there is a lot of attention, and there's a lot of discussions going, you know, back and forth, and so I don't have an expectation that you know, someone would look to engage with our office, this close to, you know, as you said, you know, the bomb going off. And so that's not a surprise. It's also not a surprise if an individual is aware that they are the subject of an investigation. That individual, generally speaking, is not looking to reach out to those investigating them. So I think it's a bit premature right now for those discussions, but, you know, we shall see.
Now, Andrew Cuomo is accused of having come on, if that's the right term, to so many women and acted inappropriately. Have you talked to any of those women?
I'm going to refrain from responding to that specific question, but we, as a matter of practice, usually when there is an allegation, we try to elicit information from anyone who has information.
So, you know, we have talked a great deal about Cuomo. You introduced the subject before about gun violence in New York State. Certainly Albany is not the only place that is experiencing this. Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, so many places. The name of the game, I take it from what you've already said, is guns, right?
It is. Yeah, we've just had a serious increase in the volume of guns that are on our streets. We certainly have an increase of individuals who are carrying those guns, and even when they're apprehended, our current statutes prohibit us from keeping those individuals in. And so one of the things that we are also, as prosecutors, law enforcement, and just, you know, community members, is seeking greater relief from our elected leaders and changing some of those reforms that were passed in 2019 so we can allow judges to consider public safety when making, you know, decisions about bail.
Now, bail is a very contentious subject here. We do know that the issue that the courts have dealt with is does a poor man have the same right to get out of jail if all he has in his pocket is $5 than a millionaire has with a $1 billion? I know that this has been inconvenient because some of the predators who have been kept in jail can't be anymore, because the law now says you got to let everybody out considering their own means. What do you make of that?
Well, the point that I'd like to make is that, you know, There are equity issues when whenever we speak on any subject. You can speak about health care. We all should arrive at the place where, yes, people should be treated equally. But I'm of the opinion, given my position, that if you are an axe murderer who happens to be wealthy, or a poor axe murderer, you should both be treated the same, and that is, you should be remaining behind bars until, you know, we've convened a jury and had a trial. And, you know, I think that New York City and the state of New York thinks much like I do. I don't believe that the intention of the legislature was to craft a piece of legislation that sees people who are apprehended with firearms and are continuing to perpetrate acts of violence be the beneficiaries of what they've passed, which is historic. And I've said this from time and time again, 85% of what they did was fantastic, and we needed it. It was long overdue. But the 15% is consistently overshadowing all of the benefits because it's focused on the wrong people.
David Soares, political culture is so important. There was a point at which the newly crowned progressive group in the state legislature, as you have just indicated, passed criminal justice reform, including the bail reform and the rest. Now, with that in mind, things have changed. The cities have been experiencing a tremendous amount of crime, murder, mayhem, even if you want to use that word. Do you think that the legislature made a mistake in liberalizing things too much?
I think they went too far, and I've been very vocal about that. And I think, look, we just have to remember that we live in a very, very diverse state. As you said, a lot of the power and authority electorally comes from the city. And, you know, I think that again, 85% of what was done was great, but it didn't take into consideration the other local ecologies or the ecology of violence and how violence works on the streets. I do not think that the intended beneficiary of these reforms was the person who was walking around with a gun, you know, shooting at people, sometimes randomly. I do not believe that the legislature intended to benefit them. But I think that whether you're talking about the conservative wing of the Republican Party in the early 70s that drafted the Rockefeller drug laws, and they were all well-intended. I don't think we can say that they weren't well-intended. I think that any time you have well-intended people, you know, coming in and reconfiguring institutions and drafting broad set of laws, it's always going to have a detrimental impact on a part of our population. And in this case, the very group of people that these reforms intended to benefit are the same group of people that are experiencing the greatest volumes of violence in their communities.
Now, district attorney is supposed to prosecute crime. I know you do that, and you do it well. On the other hand, there are many things you have to do, which includes working with other political offices, like the mayor's office in Albany. Those relationships can be kind of contentious. A mayor may have to deal with a subgroup of the population and, you know, be sort of easier on crime, for example, that many of us would want her to. How do you get over those differences?
Well, I don't know that you can. I have one function and one function only, and that is public safety and making sure that our investigations are thorough and that we're holding accountable those individuals who are perpetrating acts of violence in our community. And sometimes, you know, that can be inconsistent with some of the virtuous objectives of local politicians who, you know, in my belief, tend to pander more to the politics than the actual safety of a community. So sometimes those two things are inconsistent. I'm not a fan of, you know, any municipality that is not in support of their law enforcement, you know, agencies. And I'm not a fan of any of those, you know, municipalities that tend to either demoralize or you know, constructively defund those local law enforcement agencies. And so I'm not trying to target anyone in particular, but that is one of the greatest challenges that currently exists in cities, in America today, is the politics, is the tension between trying to be politically correct, to follow the trend of what I would call, a latte liberal, law enforcement agenda, and dealing with the realities of those policies. And right now, what we can see in every city is that those are radically inconsistent, and we have communities that are suffering as a result.
Now, David Soares, we only have half a minute, but I wanted to ask you something specific, and that is, body cameras and evidence, are the police cooperating and are you getting what you need?
We are getting what we need, and the police departments are, in fact, delivering body cameras. I think what happens sometimes, however, and I want to answer this and be, I think all of those innovations are great innovations, but as advocates continue to advocate for these innovations, they also have to consider the amount of money and resources that are necessary in order to make these innovations come to fruition.
David Soares, I can't tell you how grateful I am that you're appearing with us. We know that you've got a lot of work on your hands, including the investigation into the actions of Governor Andrew Cuomo. So in any case, we are out of time. Our guest has been Albany County District Attorney. And I have to say, for just clarification, and my friend, David Soares, who I have immense respect for. David, thank you so much for joining us. So appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Support comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President. UUPinfo.org.